Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. And as usual, I would like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe has expressed alarm at the level of divisions in his ruling ZANU-PF party, calling for a moratorium on the issuing of votes of no confidence in the party that have led to the suspension and expulsion of party members.
The president usually takes time to read, and while the president takes time, he will be getting intelligence on what the implications are in his party.
Today marks exactly 9 months after political activist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square was abducted by unknown assailants in Harare.
It doesn't look like our government is really committed to ensuring that Itai Dzamara is found. So I'd like to really say we are very sorry about that to the Dzamara family, and to just say to them we'll continue to pray.
And the Zimbabwe National Statistical Agency says the fertility rate declined in Zimbabwe between 1982 and 2012.
Fertility declined by 21% between 1992 and 2012. By 24% between 1992 and 2002.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
President Robert Mugabe has expressed alarm at the level of divisions in his ruling ZANU-PF party, calling for a moratorium on the issuing of votes of no confidence in the party that have led to the suspension and expulsion of party members. The majority of those targeted are linked to a faction allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The latest victims are influential Women's League members, spokesperson Monica Muchangwa, and Secretary for Administration Espina Nari. The two are being accused of insubordination for allegedly defying First Lady Grace Mugabe.
Mr. Mugabe addressed the media shortly before chairing the Central Committee meeting, which was expected to produce fireworks as it is dealing with issues that are threatening to split the party again after the expulsion of those sympathetic to former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. The majority of the party's provinces want to revert to the old constitution that guaranteed a post for a woman in the presidium. The development, insiders say, is aimed at removing Mnangagwa and replacing him with Mrs. Mugabe. For perspective, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu turned to director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Pedzisai Ruhanya, who says he's not amused by Mnangagwa's silence.
I think if you look at the history of Mnangagwa, is that in all the power struggles in ZANU that has taken place this far, Mnangagwa is usually guided by what President Robert Mugabe says. So his quietness is a strategy to read what the president wants. And once the president says something, Mnangagwa has always been an obedient son of the president. Even if the president says, "You are fired, Emmerson," Emmerson will go. He understands ZANU politics, and he knows that it is Mugabe who has the last word on anything that happens in ZANU. That's why he is quiet. It's not lack of strategy. He wants to understand the direction of the president. And once the president gives the direction, even if it means that he is going to be hanged, Mnangagwa will go to hang.
And let's look at this new demand, allegedly, by women in some provinces that they want a woman to be in the presidium. What is your take on this development?
I don't think that there's anything wrong. Groups in ZANU have a right to make demand on how they want to be structured, how they want their party to be organized, and how they want particularly women to be represented. But the idea of the presidium, in my understanding, is four people. We have vice president, two vice president, the president, national chairperson, and I think secretary for administration. So it means that a lady can be an enemy of those posts.
And lastly, Dr. Ruhanya, Mr. Mugabe has not said much this far. Do you think he is endorsing these suspensions and expulsions of party members?
No, the president usually takes time to read. And while the president takes time, he will be getting intelligence on what the implications are in his party.
That was the director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Bedzisai Ruhanya, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, some residents of the resort town of Victoria Falls, where ZANU-PF is set to hold its annual conference, say police have declared an unofficial curfew as they clamp down against perceived opposition supporters. The conference unofficially kicked off on Monday and is expected to be officially opened by President Mugabe on Friday. Some tour operators, speaking on condition of anonymity, said the large number of police and plainclothes details in the country's premier resort town was intimidating visitors. MDCT Provincial Chairman for Matabeleland North, Tembinko Sisibindi, told Studio 7 that police are victimizing residents.
What is happening in Victoria? People are even complaining that the police, CIO soldiers, they are on the ground. They are victimizing people. They are beating the people at night. Now people are not moving during the night because it's like there is undeclared curfew in Victoria Falls. So this is a resort, mind you, this is a resort town. Everyone is happy. There are people spending their money. But at this juncture, people are very scared because they are beaten tonight.
So has anyone tried to complain to the police?
It has not helped, my brother. Many people went to complain, to lodge complaint from the police, but there is no help from the police. They say, just go, then we'll come and see what we see. We'll come back and tell you we want to investigate it. Then they don't go and investigate. Because some of the people who are beating the people are the police, which we know them by name.
That was Tembinko Sisibindi, the MDCT Provincial Chairman for Matabeleland North. Police could not be reached for comment. Sibindi spoke to Studio 7 from Victoria Falls.
Today marks exactly 9 months after political activist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square was abducted by unknown assailants in Harare. Itai Dzamara Trust Chairperson Bishop Anselimo Magaya says they are meeting Friday to launch what he called the Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform that was supposed to kick off tomorrow to coincide with Human Rights Day.
Magaya tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri they believe the government is not doing enough in searching for the missing activist.
Firstly, I'd like to say it is very regrettable that 9 months after Itai's abduction, his whereabouts is still unaccounted for, and it doesn't look like our government is really committed to ensuring that Itai Dzamara is found or his whereabouts is really accounted for. So I'd like to really say we are very sorry about that to the Dzamara family, and to just say to them we continue to pray for them and to hope that God will continue to strengthen them from within. But we were actually tomorrow supposed to launch a convergency during which we were going to incorporate our concerns for the continued disappearance of Ida Dzamara.
So for today you are not doing anything?
We're not doing anything because we're going to do it tomorrow anyway, which has now been postponed.
Tomorrow, the world marks Human Rights Day. What can you say about this?
Yes, we'd like to be very much in solidarity with everybody that really is commemorating this day, and would like to express our solidarity with those that have missed their beloved ones as a result of state-sponsored violations. But at the same time, we'd want to insist that our government has a responsibility to make sure that human rights, the God-given rights, are really granted and guaranteed. And it is very unfortunate that we are actually commemorating this at a time when Itai Dzamara has not been around for 9 months.
That was Itai Dzamara Trust Chairperson Bishop Anselimo Magaya speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Harare.
The Zimbabwe National Statistical Agency, or ZIMSTATS, with support from the United Nations Population Fund, today launched a thematic analysis results for the 2012 National Census, which, among other issues, show that the fertility rate among people declined in Zimbabwe between 1982 and 2012. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
The results, however, show that fertility will remain high at 4 children per woman for the next 2 decades, largely because it occurred too early or late in the lives of mothers. According to one expert behind the findings, Professor Marvelous Mhloe of the University of Zimbabwe, the high fertility rate among adolescent women and significant fertility beyond age 35 contributed to the high maternal and infants' death in the country.
Fertility declined by 21% between 1992 and 2012. By 24% between 1992 and 2002, but it increased by about 4% between 2002 and 2012. The largest decline was among never married women, and it was also among the women without education, and it was also among women in rural.
She said fertility picked up in 2010, largely due to the stabilization of the economy. But Professor Mhloe noted that despite the temporary burst and boom in fertility at that period, Zimbabwe must learn from the developed countries and start designing programs that will hold fertility decline so that it maintains an optimum population in size. The results also show that the country's mortality rate improved between 2002 and 2012 by 50% at 525 per 100,000 live births in the 15 to 19 year age group and 1,108 per 100,000 live births in the 40 age group. The population aged 0 to 14 years is projected to decline to about 32% from the current 41%, while the population of those that are 65 years and above is not expected to change. ZIMSTATS Director Mtasa Zinotizei said the data was critical for planners and decision makers as they need it for future planning.
Planners can then say if they want, even when we talk about electricity, when we talk about provision of houses, you must have an idea of the size of the population going forward. And I think that is the critical role these projections are playing. If then the data is disaggregated, you can then even plan a district ward level, because you now know the population projections.
UNFPA Country Director Sheikh Tidiane Sise said the data could not have come at a better time than when the country is undertaking a number of development programs such as the Zimbabwe Agenda for Sustainable Socio-Economic Transformation and the development of a new Zimbabwe United Nations Development Assistance Program and the adoption of the Sustainable Development Goals. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Coming up,
Sandra Nyaira speaks to a Zimbabwean ferrying goods of people living in the diaspora.
And Zimbabweans remember soccer legend Freddie Mqwesha.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The World Health Organization has deployed an emergency response team to Ethiopia, which is facing its worst drought in decades. It warns food security could worsen multiple epidemics and put millions at risk.
And U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter says the international community has set up the fight against Islamic State before another terrorist attack like the November 13 Paris assault.
It's that time of the year when Zimbabweans and Christians all over the world start preparing to celebrate the birth of the Lord and personal Savior Jesus Christ on Christmas Day. The day is normally marked with Christmas church services and a lot of food and drink afterwards, with families getting together from all over the place. For many in Zimbabwe, Christmas has not been enjoyable for years now. But for those who have relatives outside the country, Christmas goodies have continued to come, making their lives much better than the rest of the struggling populace. One man making that possible is Stephen Simunyu, the owner of Cargo Link, which is based in North Carolina, here in the United States. He spoke with Sandra Nyaira about his business sending goods on behalf of Zimbabweans and Southern Africans back home. Business, he says, is booming, especially this Christmas season.
Cargo Link has been around for 10 years. It's a shipping company, a registered shipping company. It started off by targeting Zimbabweans in America. And those Zimbabweans were actually looking at shipping goods to their country. But we have since expanded from only looking at Zimbabweans. We actually ship to other countries as well, mostly Southern Africa. We won't be looking at goods only. We are looking at trucks, mining equipment, construction equipment as well. So, you know, by, you know, looking at other countries, this has actually increased our volumes. So I would say business is really good right now because, you know, we have expanded. We are reaching out to so many countries in Southern Africa.
And in terms of the Christmas period in itself, would you say many people within the region and Zimbabwe in itself in particular have been sending Christmas goodies back home because we understand things are a bit tight back in Zimbabwe?
Exactly. Yeah, we have had an increase in volume because it's Christmas, because people have family back home. That, of course, explains everything because it's time for receiving goodies from friends and family. We have realized a lot of people sending stuff this time of the year. And also to other countries as well. You know, when it's Christmas, people realize that it's time to send presents and to think about your loved one back home.
And looking at the goodies that people send home, what would you say are the most popular products that people send back to Zimbabwe?
The most popular products are clothes, shoes, groceries. By the way, I also need to mention we have some churches which are US-based and they do missionary work in Zimbabwe, so they send things like Bibles, school supplies, you know, things which they can, you know, which they cannot take with them on the plane. They would ship through Cargo Link.
Still talking about that, can you enunciate a little bit more in terms of your charity work? Because I understand you are doing a lot in the community and trying to help even, you know, fellow Zimbabweans, your compatriots who would have passed away here, by making sure that their goods do not rot here but actually go back to their relatives in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, we've managed to send furniture, personal effects for deceased Zimbabweans who are living in USA. No, it's going to be very expensive, mostly when they're going to repatriate the body to the mother country.
How expensive is the shipping?
Well, shipping to Zimbabwe is expensive. Shipping in general is expensive because of the process involved. And if you're going to be looking at America, it's a big country. And we actually pick up from every corner of the country. And also, you look at the Zimbabwe, a landlocked country, so we are using ports for other countries, so the tariffs are really high. So that itself, you know, makes the destination, Zimbabwe destination, very expensive. The other thing about our country is that, you know, we're dealing with the US dollars here, and the situation is different from when countries have their own currency. The duties will be very reasonable, you know, but otherwise, shipping to Zimbabwe, you know, it's quite expensive.
And in terms of customs, when the goods do arrive in Zimbabwe, how bad is the situation? Because some people do complain that, you know, the charges are just too high.
Charges are just too high. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, because we are dealing with US dollars. It's unfortunate that our country is kind of dependent on those revenues. If we were talking about on currency, it could have been a different situation.
Lastly, do you have any expansion plans? I heard you earlier saying you actually do ship to some countries within the region. Are you looking at the whole of Africa? What are your plans for the future as Cargo Links?
Well, we have plans to, you know, to become bigger in the near future. Right now, we, you know, of course, we go to other countries. We do ship trucks and you know, cars and some, you know, some packages. But we don't do it like we do for Zimbabwe, where we consolidate, you know. But in the near future, we want to be able to save quite a number of other countries. Because the bottom line of consolidation is to look at the numbers. Do we have enough people in the USA from a particular country? Then if it's viable, then, you know, we can move into other countries as well.
That was Stephen Simunyu, the head of Cargo Link, which is based in North Carolina here in the United States. He spoke on the phone with Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira.
Most farmers in Zimbabwe's maize-growing Mashonaland West province say they are losing hope of getting a good harvest this agricultural season due to the country's dry spell, which has turned some fields into dust bowls. The province has not yet received any significant rains this year owing to the El Nino weather phenomenon set to affect millions of people in southern Africa and other parts of the world this year. Our correspondent, Anta Chigoriwa, has more details from the provincial capital, Chinoy.
The farmers say their crops are now wilting due to the scorching heat, dashing all hopes of having a reasonable harvest in the 2015-2016 agricultural season. This is the general outlook in areas like Mangura and Makonde, where some maize seed did not germinate at all. The crops that were at knee level are now wilting. Mangura farmer Sabina Jiri predicts that there will be a devastating drought this year in his area.
In the past, we would have planted our crops by now, but this year, no one has done that. Those that planted seeds are facing problems. They have not yet germinated.
His views were echoed by Makonde farmer Priska Nyandoro, who added that nothing will change in the fields even if the rains come now, since the planting season is now over. Despite that, she said any rains now will provide drinking water for villagers and livestock. Like all the farmers in this region, Nyandoro is now looking for divine intervention. His colleague Philemon Banda of Lions Den agrees. Some farmers, though, believe that the current dry spell is caused by non-compliance with traditional rainmaking rituals. Some Zimbabweans normally conduct rainmaking ceremonies before the start of the rain season. Most of them are conducted at the Njerere Shrine in Matobo, Matabeleland South Province, where rainmakers known as Wasonazi lead the traditional ceremonies. Hilary Foyer said all this is not being done properly these days.
We are no longer following our tradition. Ancient people used to go and ask for rain. They used to be given rain. Today, there are so many churches, and the people have lost their tradition. We are no longer doing what we used to do long time ago. We used to have feasts, isn't it? They had names. People should go back to tradition.
On the other hand, some farmers say people should take heed of the advice given by agronomists who are calling for the growing of drought-tolerant crops like rapoko, sorghum, and others. Farmer Idrith Zare Wanani said such crops are the only way to get a good harvest even during dry seasons.
To plow dry short season plants like beans, soybeans, sorghum, millet, rapoko.
Several agronomists say mid-season droughts normally lead to crop failure. One of them, Ken Manzira, said, without elaboration, farmers should choose the right crops for their soils.
We need to identify at least a crop that sustains the farm. A crop that will ensure that you are able to pay your rent, you are able to pay your workers. So you need to invest in irrigation.
Weather experts are convinced that climate change is here to stay and the farmers should learn new survival methods in order to get good harvest. Zimbabwe needs more than 2 million metric tons of maize per year for domestic purposes. With the El Nino weather phenomena gripping Africa and beyond, the future looks bleak for most Zimbabwean farmers. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
The body of the late soccer legend Freddie Mukwesha, who died in Harare yesterday following a long battle with sugar diabetes, lay in state today at Rufaro Stadium for viewing by family, friends and soccer fans. His wife, Agnes Eunice Mukwesha, told us earlier on that her family has lost a humble and great father, while the football fraternity has been robbed of a mentor.
So far, we are coming from the mass service which was conducted at St. Patrick's, Glenora, where he was a strong member of the Roman Catholic Church. We are on our way to Rufaro Stadium, where we are going to be met with a lot of supporters from Dynamo's camp, where he used to work. And nationally, I'm sure there will be a lot of people waiting to receive his body. From there, we are going to proceed to Goromonzi, where he'll be buried tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
How big is the family that survives your husband, the late Mr. Mukwesha?
My husband has got, that's for the best of my knowledge, he has got 10 children, 8 girls and 2 boys. It's unfortunate some of them are in Portugal. We couldn't communicate in English because they're not good with their English. But for those who are in Zimbabwe, they are here with me. The other one who is from Germany has just arrived. The other one who is in Wales couldn't make it because she was committed at her workplace.
And then what are the arrangements after you get to Rufaro? What happens then?
I'm sure we are going to be addressed by the representative from Zifa. When we were at church, we were with Comrade Shamu, who is the patron for Dynamos. Then from there, I'm sure a number of people are going to give some speeches, though they are going to be brief, because we still have to travel about 40 k's from Harare to Goromonzi.
Did you get any assistance from Dynamos for the funeral?
Yes, I did. We got from a local prominent funeral insurance. We got a bus. We got a very beautiful casket, which is very expensive. That's from Dynamos. And then the hearse, which is carrying the body. So they still have some more contributions to give to us, but we haven't settled down yet.
What would you say as your last word as the widow of the late Mr. Mukwesha to the football fraternity?
I've been married to Mr. Mukwesha for the past 25 years. I'm so sorry to the nation of Zimbabwe. I hope they will keep looking after us as they were doing when we were still with Mr. Mukwesha. And I hope the family is going to remain or maybe get stronger as the old man is gone.
That was the widow of the late Freddie Mukwesha in Harare.
And now to recap today's top stories, Marvela.
I was busy listening to John Lennon there with Imagine, but today marks exactly 9 months after political activist Itai Dzamara of Occupy Africa Unity Square was abducted by unknown assailants in Harare.
That's all we had for you tonight. My name is Chris.